I was in first grade when I first began to realize that I could no longer see the chalkboard. So my teacher moved me up front. Things got a little better. I tried to avoid the inevitable, squinting to try and make the teacher's scribblings come clear. I would even walk up to the board after class to write down the assignments before the bell rang. I had no problem with things up close, which was good because I was an avid reader. But distant items, such as words and numbers written in white chalk, gradually faded until all I saw resembled some strange impressionist painting. So eventually I went home and I told my parents that the board had gotten blurry. They took me to the eye doctor, and he diagnosed me as being nearsighted. I got my first pair of glasses. Corrective lenses, in optometrist parlance, four eyes in my peers' vernacular. I tried contacts in high school, but early on in college, I got some strange eye infection from the contact lenses, and so I went back to glasses, which was somewhat of a relief, to be honest, with all the no fun, you know, fumbling around on the bathroom floor in the morning looking for a contact that I dropped. Maybe it's different now, but back then there were all sorts of steps and fluids and rinsings to make those things work right. And like I said, I got an infection anyway. So I've had four eyes for a while now. But no matter how many eyes I have, I still feel blind as a bat when it comes to spiritual things, which is probably why my favorite verse is 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. So it is my hope this morning that as we look with new eyes at the story of a blind man who receives his sight, what we see darkly will grow clearer in the light of the Spirit's corrective lenses. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The title I chose for my sermon this morning is Blind Obedience, which often has a negative connotation, referring to someone who obeys someone without question or much thought. The same negative connotation has often been applied to followers of God. Havelock Ellis reflects this notion in this quote: "What we call morals is simply blind obedience to words of command." Now, we might strongly disagree with these words, but it is not difficult to see how such opinions evolved. Often we hear of a tragic killing where the perpetrator says that God told them to kill. And of course, we do not believe that to be true, believing instead, and rightly so, that the person is suffering from some sort of mental illness. And yet, it is easy to see how people can equate the negative view of blind obedience with regards to the church and her followers when we think of the Crusades, the Inquisition, abuse, and the myriad other trauma that people have perpetrated throughout history out of a blind obedience to God or so-called godly authorities. So, of course, it makes sense that we have an aversion to blindly obeying anyone. Unfortunately, God gets lumped right in there with everyone else. And yet, as Boyd K. Packer describes, those who speak of blind obedience may appear to know many things, but they do not understand the doctrines of the gospel. There is an obedience that comes from a knowledge of the truth that transcends any external form of control. We are not obedient because we are blind. We are obedient because we can see. Let me repeat that last line. We are not obedient because we are blind. We are obedient because we can see. Which brings us to our story of blind Bartimaeus. Now, it's interesting to note that for all practical purposes, Bartimaeus is nameless. We do not know his first name. Bartimaeus simply means son of Timaeus. This is kind of like the conversations I've had with several people since we've moved here who start with my last name, and then they kind of work backwards trying to figure out where I fit or what family tree I've been grafted into. Some examples from the New Testament include Barabbas, Bar-Jesus, Bar-Jonah, Barnabas, Barsabbas, Bartholomew, and here now, our very own blind Bartimaeus. The feminine equivalent is Barta or Bath in Hebrew, as in Bathsheba, daughter of Sheba, whose husband King David had killed so he could have her, whose child Solomon is part of Jesus' lineage, and yet, like Bartimaeus, we do not know her first name. Gareth Hughes has an interesting take on the meaning of Timaeus. He says there are two ways we can translate it. The first instance is that Bartimaeus could mean the honored one, the worthy one, or even the ransom one bought at a price. An alternative meaning is the opposite. It could be unclean, impure, unchaste, or abominable. In this sense, Bartimaeus could mean son of my impure ones, which is in keeping with the general bigotry against those with disabilities that they inherited a parental fault or sin. We can see both of these interpretations in the reaction of the crowd to Bartimaeus' shouts for Jesus to help him. First, like our children's story, they tell him to be quiet. He is a nameless blind beggar, impure, unclean, who is raising his voice at an honored rabbi, which was a no-no back in that day. How dare he shout to Jesus, who is on his way with the crowd heading to Jerusalem for Passover? But Jesus hears him and stops. Suddenly, the people's response changes. Take heart, get up, they say. He is calling you. We may not know Bartimaeus' name, but Jesus does. Even before he is healed, Bartimaeus is brought from being unseen into being seen and honored by Jesus. My name is Keith Melford Lindacre Slaybaugh. My first name was given to me by my parents. It is of Scottish origin and means wood or forest, which is kind of cool when I think of how much joy I get working with wood. My middle name, Milford, is my father's first name. His middle name is his father's first name. And so, to continue this tradition, my son's middle name is my first name. My maiden name is Lindacre. I took Rochelle's last name, Slaybaugh, when we got married. I am sure that you have similar stories about the origins of your names. Our identities are often wrapped up in our names. We like being recognized for who we are, having our names called, as it were. But in the end, what we are called is not as important as who calls us. Get up, take heart. He, Jesus, is calling you. One of the songs we sung at our previous church is You Know My Name by Tasha Cobbs Leonard. It was particularly meaningful for our minister of worship who at one time was homeless, living on the streets like Bartimaeus. I loved hearing him sing the words because I knew they meant something to him. He knows my name. Yes, he knows my name. And oh, how he walks with me. Oh, how he talks with me. And oh, how he tells me that I am his own. You know my name. You know my name. Like Bartimaeus, Christ knows our name. As I have noted previously, our identity is to be found in Christ. We are Christians, little Christs. Again, 1 Corinthians 13:1. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. You and I are fully known by God. While others were blind to blind Bartimaeus, Jesus recognized him and called him out into public view. In Jesus' eyes, Bartimaeus is fully known. This nameless beggar is called by Jesus, even though we or the crowd with him do not know his name. Beloved, let us be a people who listen to the voice of the one who knows us fully and who calls us by name. Let us be a people who respond to the cries of the nameless ones, not with a shushing, but rather with an invitation. Get up, take heart, he is calling you. Jesus recognizes who Bartimaeus really is, and likewise, even before he is healed, Bartimaeus recognizes who Jesus really is. Son of David, he cries, have mercy on me. Son of David is a messianic title. Jesus knows Bartimaeus, but Bartimaeus knows Jesus too. A few chapters earlier, we learned that people had all sorts of ideas about who Jesus was. Who do people say that I am? Jesus asks his disciples. They reply, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. Peter goes on to declare that he and the disciples believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, so does Bartimaeus. He gets it. And he not only gets it, but he shouts it as loud as he can so that everyone can hear. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when they tell him to shut up, he just shouts louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. As I noted earlier, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for what will be the final week of his ministry and life here on earth. Many of those in the crowd traveling with Jesus had all sorts of ideas about who they thought Jesus was, a great teacher, a prophet come back from the dead, a warrior king to liberate them from the Romans. But it takes a blind beggar to really see and name who Jesus really is, Son of David, Messiah. Beloved, Let us be a people who are willing to continue to have our eyes opened to see more and more of who Jesus really is. So Bartimaeus calls to Jesus, recognizing him as the Messiah. Jesus responds with his own call, letting Bartimaeus know that he is seen and has been heard. Bartimaeus responds immediately by standing up, casting away his cloak, the trappings of his old life. What faith! He knows deep down that his life is going to be changed. Oh, that we would be ready to answer Christ when he calls us, casting aside our old habits for new. Verse 51. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is a physical healing. Bartimaeus receives his sight. But there is a spiritual aspect of this healing that is revealed as well. One commentator has said, "This is a clear portrait of the healing power of the merciful King, but this story also functions as a parable of discipleship. To be healed from spiritual blindness is to grasp the true identity of Jesus and join him on the way to the cross." As Bobby noted this morning, Jesus' ministry began with him reading this scripture from Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Bartimaeus recognizes this. He believes that Jesus is the Messiah. He is healed. He can see again. He no longer has to beg for a living or be led around by others. He could have stepped out on his own, gone away from his encounter with Jesus to become a more productive member of society. Yet he chooses to follow Jesus, no longer physically blind, but recognizing that in order to truly see, he must let Jesus be his guide. That is the kind of blind obedience we are to emulate. To those around us, it may seem like we are stumbling around like the blind leading the blind, blindly following after this rather strange and mysterious God. We do indeed see through a glass darkly. Now we know in part, so we trust God for the rest. I am obedient because I recognize that Jesus is a guide I can fully put my faith in. It is when I begin to trust my own sight that I lose sight of where God wants me to go and who God wants me to be. Now, as many of you know, Rochelle's dad, my father-in-law, Roy Slaybaugh, was an optometrist here in the community for many, many years. And while some folks may go into that part of their life when they have to get corrective lenses or mainly progressive lenses as they get older, I definitely accepted the diagnosis from my father-in-law that it was time for progressive lenses. And as I was looking over the sermon this morning, I started thinking about this analogy with progressive lenses. Now, maybe you're not at that age yet when you have to have these, but they start at the top and they go down. So the top part of the progressive lenses makes things in the distance clear. The bottom part is for reading or things up close. So in order to really get used to these, I realized I had to kind of be doing this. So if I wanted to see things out, I would put my head and look over the top. If I wanted to see things closer, I had to look a little down like this. And I got to thinking, it's kind of this head nod, this affirmative. I'm nodding my head like that. So regardless of where we're at in our lives with Jesus, it's important that we're nodding our heads yes, so that we can see clearer. Beloved, let us be a people whose lives are lived with this so-called blind obedience to Jesus, trusting that He is the only one who sees where we need to go, so that when the way grows drear, let us take the hand of our precious Lord who is near and answer Jesus' question as blind Bartimaeus did, "My teacher, let me see again." Amen. As we prepare to enter into a time of communion, let us pause in silence to prepare our hearts and to confess our sins before God.